Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Today, we're talking to someone in a club that's about 4,000 times smaller than the Adventures in Odyssey Club. It's the club of composers for the show.
Oh, is it John Campbell?
No.
Jared DePasquale?
Nope.
Marty Achito, Pat Woodland, Tim Hossman.
You know, I haven't heard any of those names before. No, it's not. And though there are a few others, this list is very short. We're talking to Aaron Fullen.
He was my next guest.
Aaron composed the music for Always Home in album 68, as well as The Protector coming up in album 70. He grew up listening to Odyssey, and his resume is far lengthier than our Odyssey composers list. Let's chat with him now.
Hey, Aaron. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. It's so great to be here. I'm stoked.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've heard from a number of podcast guests lately who grew up listening to Odyssey before they started working on the show. So were you a fan before you became a composer for Odyssey?
Oh, was I a fan? I was what some may call a raving fan of Adventures in Odyssey. I grew up listening to it not only every night on the radio, but my era, Odyssey was on cassette tapes, and every birthday, every Christmas, I was getting new cassette tapes, and I was obsessed. I'd listen to them morning, noon, and night. I was that little kid who was drawing pictures and sending them in and thinking I was actually talking to Eugene and Connie and Whit, and my goal early on was I'm going to somehow, someday, be involved with that show.
And it has happened.
Yeah.
And we're so glad that you did. Of course, if you had followed your initial desire to be an actor before you decided to compose film scores, we might still not have worked together yet. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, well, even when it comes to Odyssey, I wanted to act in Odyssey before anything else. I even early on, probably was 11 or 12, I put together a little demo reel and sent it in. And I was so flattered because Paul McCusker actually sent a letter in response to it and commented, you know, great job. And we actually record in LA and those kind of things. And so that's initially how I wanted to be involved, even in Odyssey. And then right after high school, I planned to just move out to LA and try and dive right in. But my dad took me out to dinner. I'll never forget this. He took me out to dinner and basically just said, Aaron, I don't think you're ready for that industry. I don't think you're prepared spiritually to throw yourself into what can be a very difficult industry to be part of. And so I think you need to stick around, get some grounding, and then potentially pursue that, which that's exactly what I did. Wasn't happy about it at the time, but listen to your parents, folks. They have great wisdom. So I did exactly that. And then music blossomed as a result out of that. I worked for an audio company fresh out of college and started writing music for them via the influence of John Campbell. He was the first person that I connected with who helped me set up my studio, told me what to get, how to do it. And then John and I became friends through that. So that's how the transition happened.
Wow.
If we had known that, Jesse, we could have had John Campbell on the line. We could have talked to all of them together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next time.
I like that. I like that you know, your dad brought up Hollywood because, you know, that's really what people think of as the center of all, you know, entertainment production. But of course, that's not true in our case here in Colorado Springs or in Iowa, where you live, not exactly known as being the entertainment capital of the world either. So
no.
How did you get your start with films and in media with being a composer?
Well, again, this is a really interesting story how it all came about, but I got a job with an audio production company, but the guy who owned it, the executive producer of the company, was an entrepreneur. And basically what I did, I was 23 years old, freshly married, no kids yet. And what I just documented some reasons that I wanted him to fund my first studio. I didn't have the money to put down to get all of the equipment necessary, but I put together a document and said, here's what I can do. Here's what I can do for you. I just need a little help. And he said, looked at it and said, let's do it. I'll pay for it. get it all set up. So that's when I contacted John Campbell. And my training is in piano performance. That was my major in college. So I already had a music background, had not done much composing though. And so then John basically took me under his wing and showed me the ropes. And so that's how it started. And then I was welcomed into Odyssey years later. But that's kind of how it all began.
Hmm. What are some other things that you've worked on that might be familiar to our listeners?
Well, I do a lot of podcasts, actually, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. I've worked with a couple different podcasters. Most recently, the co-founder of Walden Media, who was the production company behind the Chronicles of Narnia films, for example, yeah. and Journey to the Center mm-hmm. of the Earth. They partnered with Disney a lot. The co-founder of Walden Media started a podcast, and that's probably the most recent thing that I've done that maybe people would know who he is. And I got to score some music for that show, that podcast.
That's great. So what was your reaction when you were asked to do your first episode for us, Always Home?
Oh, what wasn't my reaction is the real question. I felt so many different things at once. I was thrilled, for one thing. And I had that moment of, whoa, full circle. This has always been my favorite show. Audio or visual, like this, hands down, Odyssey has been my go-to entertainment. And I just think it is a masterful look at storytelling and what resonates with people for 30 plus years. Like that's unheard of. And so just all of those feelings and thoughts and my wife said, Aaron, you've peaked. Like, this is it. You're 30 years old and you have arrived at one of your lifelong goals. And it's sometimes you just have to pause and take those moments in because we work so hard to get to certain points. And then when we get there, it's, you know, you look to the next thing. But this was one of those moments I really did just thank the Lord and say, wow, I never thought I'd be here, but I'm so glad I am.
You mentioned the history of Odyssey, and when you scored Always Home, you reintroduced some of John Campbell's musical themes from the 80s and the 90s. So what went into that decision?
Well, that's a great question. When I first was introduced to the show, I was told, you know, Marshall Younger wrote the show. Jonathan Crowe was doing the sound design, and he said, Aaron, you're going to love this show because I know you're super nostalgic and you're an old fan, and this show is nostalgic. So that's all I knew going into it. And then when I listened to it and Tom Riley was a part of it, and more specifically, Tom Riley's death, it was such an emotional episode because it was kind of the closure that all of us fans wanted with Tom. And I immediately thought back over the years of Whit and Tom's friendship. And so I specifically pulled two themes out from old shows. I've always wanted to do that because I think it's a lovely nod to John Campbell, for one thing. And it was kind of my mm-hmm. thank you to him for everything he's done. And I think some of his original themes for the show were so poignant and beautiful. And I pulled two of those themes for this particular episode, one relating to just Whit and Tom's friendship. And I pulled a theme from The Mortal Coil, where the roles were sort of reversed, where Tom mm. was in the hospital room with Whit, and Whit was on the verge of death. And Tom and Whit have this lovely moment where he talks about, Whit, it's not your time. We don't get to decide these things. And the musical theme under that, my mind immediately went to that. So I pulled that one. And then the other one I pulled was, it's been featured a number of times, but I think Silver Streak was the first time it was mentioned or nodded to. And I pulled that theme, and it's basically kind of, it's a very sad theme. It plays when Whit's wife dies as well. So I pulled that, put it into the very end when Connie and Whit are having a moment. And it just seemed to work really well. I ran it by Jonathan and he said, hey, creative freedom, do what you think is going to work. And then let's examine that. And it worked.
Yeah, totally. Can we hear a little bit of those themes right now?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So here's the one that plays right at the end when Connie and Whit are talking and really having a heartfelt moment. And you'll hopefully be able to recognize it. So here it is. Anyway, so that's that. There's that one. And then the other one is the one that you'd recognize with Tom in Wit. And here's a few lines from that. So it's very subtle, and I didn't know if anyone would recognize it, honestly, just because I'm such an old-fashioned fan. But I was surprised how many people noticed. I read a couple reviews on Always Home, and some people were saying, I loved hearing old themes come back, and I hope they do that again. So I was really pleased with the feedback that came out of it.
Yeah, that's one of the great advantages of having somebody such as yourself who has a history come and join us, but yet bring with you that knowledge that just brings some wonderful subtleties into it. So give us a preview of the upcoming episode, The Protector. What was the biggest challenge you faced while composing those cues?
Great question. Hands down, the hardest thing I feel like as a composer to do is dramatic shifts of emotion. So there's a scene, no spoilers, but there's a scene where it's meant to be very lighthearted or just non-action packed, I'll say that. And then it quickly changes to a sense of fear and panic almost, and then back to a sense of calm, all in the span of 30 seconds to a minute. So that can be really tough to do because you don't want to jar the audience with the transitions between emotions. You want to make it feel smooth, but you also have to score to the action. So that, I would say, is typically the hardest thing as composers to do. And there, you'll probably, when you listen to The Protector, you'll be able to spot that. And hopefully it accomplished what it was supposed to.
Yeah, it always surprises me how much time and effort and detail goes into every single show. So just to talk numbers for a minute, how many separate cues are part of a typical Odyssey episode? And we know that the finished episode is around 25 minutes. So how many of those minutes feature music?
That's a great question. I would say totally depends on the type of show. A lot of times, the more action-packed or epic shows require more music. The ones that are perhaps a little more, you know, day-to-day, small-town Odyssey wouldn't require as much. But typically, I'd say 10 to 15 musical cues is probably average. And then as far as the number of minutes, I would say a third of the show maybe would have music. That's probably a safe estimate. But again, ranges according to the needs for each episode.
So what advice would you give to young composers who are just starting out in the industry? Maybe an Odyssey fan, maybe not an Odyssey fan, but, you know, your dad gave you such good wisdom and it really changed the trajectory of things for you. Give some of that same wisdom to our young listeners.
Yeah, well, one thing I would say is don't give up. If you really feel like the Lord has specifically wired you to do something and gifted you specifically, even if it seems unlikely, you know, in my case, multiple people saying, Aaron, you can't pursue a career in music or a career in acting from the middle of the Midwest. It just doesn't happen. Those kind of things can be really disheartening and discouraging, especially when I had no intention of moving to the West Coast. But the Lord is so much bigger than anybody else's expectations or ideas of what can and can't happen. So just encourage you to work hard and to not give up. That's one thing I'd say. Another thing is commit all of your gifts and talents to Him. If you want to be blessed and you want to live a fulfilled life, that's what we're here to do. He created us. He gave us the gifts and talents. To think otherwise and to let pride seep in, that's a terrible way to do things. We need to embrace the fact that these are His gifts, and our goal in living these out is to please Him and honor Him in the way we do that. And so for me, part of that has been through Adventures in Odyssey. I believe in what they're doing and how they're doing it. And it's an honor to be involved with such a worthy endeavor. So don't give up and do everything for the Lord to the best of your abilities.
You said how they're doing it. Now you can say how we're doing it.
That's true. Thank you for reminding me of that. I love being able to say that.
Welcome to the team.
That's right. And I love the perspective that you brought to that with, you know, serving God, keeping him first, and then using your talents to bless him. Now, we can't let you go, Aaron, without asking you a
TRQ
or totally random question. And this one comes from Pink Justice, who asks, do you play an instrument? Now, we already heard you play piano, so I'm going to adjust that question to, do you play an instrument other than piano?
Yes, I do. In high school, I played percussion. So I played timpani, I played bass drum, snare drum, you name it. In the percussion section, I was playing it.
Well, we are so thrilled to have you as part of the Odyssey family. You mentioned about your wife's familiarity with the show. Do you have children yet?
I do, yes. So when I started composing probably 7-ish years ago, no children. Now I have 4 children, and I'm busier than ever. We both are. So it keeps things interesting, but they're an incredible blessing. And guess what? They listen to Odyssey every single night.
That was my next question. I wasn't sure how old they were and whether they were fans yet.
Yes, they are. They love it. They go to sleep to it, and they're almost as obsessed as I was at their age.
So how do they feel about Dad composing music for Odyssey?
They're very excited, and every once in a while, they'll hear Odyssey playing, and they'll run into the room and say, Dad, did you write the music for this one? And I have to say, no, I've written 2 out of 900 plus episodes. So you're going to hear more of John Campbell than you are of me. But they're always excited anyways.
I love it. And do they still listen to your same cassettes? That's really what I want to know.
Yes. That's funny you should mention it, right? Because my mom just like gave me a huge box of our old cassettes because we've been doing CDs, obviously, lately, and the club. And then my mom was like, you know what? These should be in your house. So now we're starting to go through the old tapes, and it's kind of a fun full circle moment.
Well, I love it. It's nice to talk to another cassette tape owner, because I have one myself at my house that I still listen to. So,
you know, it's tough to find tape players. That's one thing.
Yes.
When we got these tapes, I'm like, where did we find a tape player? And you look online, it's hard to find them now. So that really ages us.
Well, thank you so much, Aaron. It was such a pleasure to talk with you. And we're excited you're part of the family and know that you will continue to use your talents to bring glory to God's kingdom and also to bring Adventures in Odyssey to life.
Thanks, guys. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
You can hear Aaron's music in Always Home, an album 68, or in The Protector from album 70, right now in the club.
Album 70, Finding a Way, just released on download, so you can hear it that way too, or you can listen when the episode releases on the radio and online later this spring.
Aaron recorded a Family Time video for us last spring, so we'll have a link to that on our website, adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast.
Speaking of which, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Join the club at aioclub.org or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.